Okay, so pitching for future like of these enterprises of a live show of a stream or whatever, like some kind of either collectible card game tournament format or like a tabletop RPG actual play format where all of the people, including the GM, are some kind of stage magicians and are just cheating in any and every way they can over the course of the over the course of the game and are trying to catch each other out as they are cheating horrendously.
Why isn't that like a thing? Why don't we have like widespread shows where it's like the goal is to find the most inventive way to cheat at it?
Mm-hmm. I want to see them do silly dice tricks while the GM is, you know, color setting the scene or whatever. We see player three just doing all sorts of ridiculous juggling, changing the colors of the dice.
Please,
flings
I need you
one
to
into the audience.
I need you to roll. Just put one of them down.
Hold on, I'm almost done.
Please put it down.
Can you keep a secret? And I will read as best as I can. Would that be a presence?
So yeah, I think you could kind of justify it through presence of you just project the sort of personality that like disarms people and like leads them into doing tells that they wouldn't normally have. There's also intellect of like just being able to read someone and understand when they're lying. But yeah, presence would work, I would say.
Let's go intellect. Because this is more of like a he's trying to read. We'll see if it works. Sure. So then that's one D8, and that D8 gave me a 2.
All right, a 2. Hey, that's a success. That is a success with a complication. And, you know, you look at this person, you can tell that, like, she doesn't know. She's playing things very cool right now, is what you can tell. It's like, she, you know what? You can tell that she has an energy, like she wants something from you. But you can't tell what that might be specifically. When you mention, like, can you keep a secret? Like, there is a look that, like, crosses her face for a second that is hard to read. It definitely feels like you have thrown her off for a bit, like, but she moves back into, like, a more cool and casual place. With how long we've known each other, don't you know?
Okay. All right. I mean, we did just meet. Fast friends, hopefully. But I guess what I mean to say is, where I'm coming from, the Red Feathers are a little bit more miss than hit. And when we met earlier and I asked you, if you felt like you deserved the sentence you got, it kind of is coming from a place where, you know, that sometimes there is an outsized reaction that the Red Feathers have to people living their damn lives.
I come from a town not too far outside of Arum called Fairway. It's a nice place. And for a long time there, my parents owned a bakery. And when they passed away, that bakery passed to me. What I didn't know when I inherited this bakery, when I, alongside my siblings, inherited this bakery, is that there were a lot of debts leaned against it. debts for all kinds of things, mostly the land that we were on. It was owned by someone, and then those rights were bought by the syndicate because they wanted to create space for their operations in the city. We just ended up paying them, and rates started going up. But you can't just pick up and move something like that. We've lived there for generations. Absolute generations. Yeah. We also don't have the money saved up to build another. And baking's all we know. So my siblings and I looked at what we owed, and there was a way to wipe it clean. And so I took that on, and that bakery is still running, and that means my family still lives there. So do I deserve it? No. But I also don't know. There's nothing else to do. This was going to happen to someone, and I'm the oldest, so it should happen to me.
That is so noble of you. That's crazy. I think there's like a level of like frustration that Jonnet like is maybe like putting out in the world that maybe he is or is not like keying into, where it's like, that's so crazy that they can get you in their system just by piling on more and more debt. So you're paying off your debt. You're paying off their debt by acquiring more debt, and now you're here. And do you even get to see your family or hear from them? How are they? Is the debt actually wiped out with the Red Feathers ever?
I do hear from them. We get correspondence here, and I write correspondence back, and I'm very careful. Also, I have the good fortune of having experience with being front of house, running the bakery with my family for so long. When the position called for somebody to be able to speak to, you know, potential customers, wealthy customers coming from out of town, I fit that role really well. And I have been lucky with the Scarlet so far. So I just keep my head down. I do my work. I've only got a few years left, and the family appears to be doing fine. I wouldn't say, if I'm being entirely honest, extremely honest with somebody who I have just met.
Fast friends.
I don't want to be here. This place is a death sentence. I have watched people die here. They watch every move you make and everything you do. And if you make a mistake, that is more time here. And the more time here, the more ways they have to take money from you, and the closer you get to the Scarlet taking you. I've been lucky, but I know I will leave this place with a touch of Scarlet. I've heard that people recover, but they need to be gone from here to do that.
What do people that are exposed to the Scarlet for around your sentence, what are their lives like as they leave? What are they going through? What are they experiencing? What's in store for you?
She takes your hand. You're wearing gloves, right?
Mm-hmm.
This, to you, probably doesn't feel like much. And she runs a finger across your palm. Just lightly through the glove. To me, it's almost like, have you ever dipped your finger in candle wax and then touched something as it was still tacky?
Yeah.
The sensation is dimmed, but it's not as much as it would be from these thick fabric gloves. To someone else at one of these tables, she gestures around, it's like your bare flesh touching something. You could feel every ridge of the table, even through your gloves. And to those who are really far gone, they are feeling everything all the time, elevated to a degree that I can't imagine. Now, that doesn't seem so bad, but you have to think not everything in life is touching like this. And she now like firmly has your hand in hers. If you've ever stubbed your toe accidentally, brushed against a door the wrong way, you know you can pick up little hurts and scrapes, and that's on top of everything that we're doing for work. If you suffer a measure of pain in just the wrong way, it can be unbelievably agonizing. A mundane illness can feel like something that would pull you directly into the grave. The scarlet makes everything life has to offer so much more intense. And eventually, no matter who you are, it is too much for you.
It goes without saying, but I don't envy this. Envy you. That sounds really, really hard. And you don't need this, but I feel frustrated for you at the people that got you here. And, well, to that end, I think we kind of want something circling the same thing. You need to get out of here. You want to get out of here.
She's leaning in while you are saying this, to like conspiratorially almost. Go on.
I don't have much in the way of...
She places a finger on your lips. No need. I think I know what you're saying. And it's fine. I'd be happy to. Pay my debts and I'll go away with you. I felt it too. You just seem so much more compassionate, so much more thoughtful, so much nicer than all of the other privateers that roll through.
Johnny puts up two hands on, kind of resigned, is like, actually, I might be able to help you in terms of paying your debt, but I can't offer to go with you. And I don't think it'd be a great idea for you to come with me. You've got a life that you got to get back to.
Even if they pay down my debt, I'm still going to have to buy my way out of their port. Look, I know it must be unusual, especially for someone like you who was born with so much wealth to be part of a family that owns a measure of weave. I can offer you things that no one else can offer you. And I would offer them happily. I just need to get out of here. And I know you can do it.
I can get you out. I can get you out. I can get you the means to get out.
Then that's all I need to hear. She is definitely throwing down a different vibe than you thought she was throwing down.
Yeah.
How do you make yourself clear without giving away whatever you're giving away?
All I need from you is access to the factory. If you can open those doors to another factory worker who's dressed just like everybody else, that might just be my height for one afternoon, one shift, I can get you what you need to pay down your debt and get back to your bakery. That's all I need from you. That's all I want from you.
Okay. I need you to make a presence roll.
Y'all, I'm going to do another spend on it. So that's an 8 and a 6.
Okay.
The die.
What is your current presence score?
It's just 1.
Just 1? Okay, yeah. So if you spend 1 from presence, it will upgrade that to a d12. If you spend 2 from presence, it would upgrade it to it would give you a d6 and a d8.
Gotcha. I'll do 1 spend, and I just rolled that 12, and it's a 9.
Okay. Oof. Okay, you were... Oof. Let's see what that 9 is. Interesting. All right. She pulls back Your result, you got one failure and an opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you want to access the factory?
The dyes that you have they're of interest to my employer. And I just need to get there because I need a bottle. I get a bottle, you get your bakery.
Look, I have sold a lot of things in my life. I have sold my voice. I have sold my pride. I have sold my body. And I am willing to part with certain things. But I am not willing to give up my life. I don't know who you are, who your family is, what your interest in the dyes we make here is, but I know one thing. Betraying the Red Feathers means death, and I am a lot smarter than that. I might be here, but I am smarter than that.
There's like a small resigned feeling in Jonnet's like brows, like, ah, shit. All right.
Listen, well, Mr. Labalest, I made an offer, and for the record, it was a really good one. Good luck to you with whatever operation you're trying to pull here.
Jonnet kind of like gestures like to the, he kind of gives like a twirl of his hand, is like, I concede. Like, I thank you for
your
time.
Backs away from it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think all I can offer you is my word and a sign that I mean what I say, and I mean business. And so he's going to just like put like, let's say, 2 gold bits on the table as he's like stepping away. And
okay. I think there is another way that you can come at this role. Then you can leverage this time roll from your wealth, as opposed to rolling from your presence, because this is no longer like you trying to convince someone to do something through words. This is you being like, I actually have the money to back up everything that I'm doing. Even if I'm asking you to do something dangerous, I will be able to provide what I've said I'd be able to provide.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I will roll from wealth, which is a D. That's a 1.
Okay, you weren't going to spend anything on that?
I've never rolled wealth before, and
so you still
I just did the 1. Yeah, okay. No, we're sticking with it.
Okay, and that is going to be... She looks at the bits, and her hand, like, twitches as though she's, like, going to take them, but hesitating. No, I can't. It is... too much of a risk. I don't know who you are. And I think like some tears like start to well up in her eyes a little bit. There are no easy solutions. And she like backs away from the table and leaves. Let's cut over to our dear friend, Oramar Vale. Hey, sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fail.
Yeah. Oof.
Mm. We find Oramar somewhere private with access to a mirror, which may be on the Uhuru, to be honest, knowing that there's already a time set for when, he's supposed to be having dinner with Mr. Stone and company. And he's looking in the mirror and smiles and then lets it fall and then smiles again, trying to kind of keep the artifice but still look genuine. This is getting harder and harder to do. I thought this would be easy. I managed to pretend to be alive for so goddamn long. And smile. Okay, I think we have it. Okay. Now, how many people did he say he was inviting again? We're definitely speaking to Miss Truss, and I think he said something about the head of the clergy for this local church, so that's 3 people. 3 people should be well enough to baffle. But you know, people like this, when they have the opportunity to show off over the new friends they've made, they're going to be telling everybody. I should be expecting more. Okay. Okay. I am going to use one of my abilities. I have a wealth ability that is called The Right Outfit. It is a point spend describing your outfit that Orimar has available. It can be worn by other people, but it is fitted for Orimar's build. We pull something very like 18th century France out.
Gotcha. Patterns, pastels.
Patterns, pastels. Something that would be actually from the Azure region rather than the kind of, you know, casual clothes with the additional layers that we're wearing. Went for the fluffy fur collar to suggest money at the time, but we now have a story and we need to stick to it. So I don't know how much lore there is for the Azure region that's set.
Not terribly too much. Just that there are a bunch of baronies and whatnot, and there's a lot of agricultural exports.
Then a fun thing I would love to include is that instead of them doing like a full powdered wig, they put in extensions and then style it as one would do a powdered wig.
I like that.
Possibly because they do, you know, at kind of courtly parties, there is a lot of elaborate spinning dancing and nobody needs their wig flying off. So they have it fully sewn into their hair. And yeah, we get that. We get it is actually a periwinkle blue. Ooh. It is not the same shade as the pigment that they make here, but you can it's something that would suggest, you know, that I think I'm paying attention to the tone.
What I love about it is I think it is a shade that is like just to the left of it. And the difference between the two is this shade is something that must be dyed with like a very specific kind of wildflower. And it takes like pounds and pounds of these blooms to render this dye. So your outfit is dyed with an extremely expensive dye that produces something very close. Well, this is a very cheap dye that produces something like. So it's like only the most distinguished are going to know and appreciate the difference between the two.
Just a full fun tangent. There was recent Fashion Week, I think about 2-3 weeks ago, and I think it was Balenciaga's line was specifically like tired people at the airport chic, specifically doing the kind of like sweatpants.
Is this the one where they sold
the
towel?
In that, it's that kind of energy. It's fully. I look like I am running for the airport in my gym clothes, but fashion, and it looks exactly the same. It's just way more expensive, and people were rightfully very annoyed that somebody would roll up to the function with that as their line. I think it's that energy. You know, this is using the poor person's aesthetic in rich clothes, which is as obnoxious and maddening as that should be. And with the new dress and smiling in the mirror, yes, the one and only Julian Larbalest is going to knock them dead. And he steps out of the cabin's quarters and starts making his way back into town in time.
Yeah, I think like as he steps out of the captain's quarters, we do like a hard cut to him stepping up to, we can see Mr. Stone and an attendant of like servants and whatnot waiting under a street lantern for Orimar's arrival. Do you just rock up by yourself?
I'm open to somebody joining me on this. Who of the crew or of present cast would be interested in doing a little bit of high society? Because there's that. No, that's fine. I can do this on my ones. What he does show up. Oh, yes, because we retrieved a whole bunch of old barrels of rum or whiskey in the Saratura.
There's a barrel. There are like several barrels of like whiskey that are in the barrel still. So,
yeah, we've decanted one of those in the nicest glass bottle. I think Orimar drains one of the ones that had been sitting in his cabinet from time ago, like a glass, like one of those crystal carafes with the stopper.
Sure.
Fills that with some of the whiskey and shows up to the function with that and a little clutch, a little clasp on it, you know, silk, gold, like a green silk on the outside. We've got to describe the outfit. The fan artists need to know. but yes, showing up to the function, clutch, glass carafe of whiskey. Ah, you must be the people. Is it Mr. Stone or is it somebody else?
It's Mr. Stone.
Mm-hmm. Ah, Mr. Yes, Stone. Hello.
Oh, so good of you to find us.
Of course, I wouldn't miss this for the world. The outfit that Barnabas was preparing is not fully done, so I did bring a little something from back home. Hopefully it's not too gaudy for the occasion.
Oh, no, not at all. Also, Barnabas, you know, is used to doing very pedestrian work, so it's perhaps better that you're dressed in cloth from your own Azure region.
Mm. And the gloves and mask, too. I am embroiling myself in the local culture. I feel so part of it now.
I assure you, you're doing wonderfully. Wonderfully. I will say the function this evening is a bit more robust and populated than I expected it to. But all the important figures that you should need to meet will be there, so...
Oh my, I was looking forward to speaking to Miss Truss and the head of the local church. I don't believe you gave a name.
Oh, yes. Of course, well, Miss Truss will be there, though in high demand. She has brought her own acquaintances from a nearby municipality. I'm sure there are people that you'd love to meet anyway. And, of course, it will be attended by Occhio Vista Agostino Arivetti. He shall be in attendance as well. So there will be plenty to discuss. Lots of palms to press, as it were. Yes.
I love a powerful woman with an entourage.
Lead
the way, sir.
You will love her indeed. He prattles, like, you actually, I think, go into a carriage and... No, it's probably not far away enough for there mm-hmm. to be a carriage. Like, you're walked through the thoroughfares and areas with offices to the nicer, like past even... dormitory areas to like the residence for visiting Red Feather officials and residences that they would have even for like important visiting dignitaries would be housed in this what is essentially a makeshift mansion. It is built a lot more practically than some of the homes that you have seen Red Feathers occupy in your time, but it is like still a big house with a lot of rooms, and as you are welcomed inside again, everything looks more spare here, and most of the decorations are Red Feather insignias and whatnot. Someone has made some measure of an effort to make this place acceptable for receiving people, but clearly whoever is behind making the decisions here doesn't do so with like grandiose efforts to impress.
Mm.
And you are welcomed into a receiving room where we can see a bunch of people milling about with like drinks in their hands. I am going to say one of them is Miss Truss, who was described earlier. She is now in a, I'm going to say this is a classic like Hillary Clinton style pantsuit, you know, a more subdued color palette. But like this is somebody who likes to look professional, even in social contexts. We also have the thin, pale man that I described earlier. Mm-hmm. He has changed into, you know, something that looks between like 1700s fashion and a tuxedo. So it is a lot more reserved than some of the other fashions in the room, but it is once again black velvet adorned with like silver implements. Orimar, you can recognize the insignia on the lapel is definitely denoting that he works with a reference desk. There are also a few other people in the room, Liz and Tyler.
Hello.
Want you to describe two people that you will be playing at this fancy party.
Fantastic. One of the noble women is this very chicken-like looking lady. She's got a ruff or a collar that's very big, and her dress is very voluptuous. Mm-hmm. But she herself has a constantly shocked look on her face, and she has an attitude that is very, very nervous, and she's a lot like this, and oh my, oh gracious, yes. I wish I were home.
Yeah, I think I love the description of chicken-like. I think a thing that is disturbing about her is her head stays extremely still, but her body moves nervously. So she's got that like chicken-like kind of effect, a stabilizing effect on her.
My guy is Luther Mathers.
Ooh.
He's a bigger dude. I think he's got like he has a very like dignitary, like twisted mustache. It's very gray. I think he's got a very, very, very small pair of like looker glasses, like resting on his nose.
Yeah,
I think like his jacket is adorned with like bips and bobs and like medals and like things. No one at the party can tell you what they are for, what they mean. We don't know if he makes them himself, but like this is just part of like he's just he is very adorned with jewelry of all shapes and sizes and varieties. His fingers, he's got at least 4 rings on each finger. So much to the point where it's like, if there is something that he needs to grab where he needs to like bend like some fingers, he has to actually like take a couple off, and he makes it a full show every single time.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I'll need to take off 4 rings for this. and things of the like.
That's spectacular. Yeah, so you've got this room full of various people milling about, having conversations with one another in various configurations.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Stone is very interested in you. Like, he is trying to introduce you around a little bit, act almost as an ambassador to you. You can tell, like, with your just general social graces, this is a guy who assumes you have a lot of money, and that being responsible for you being here and doing business is going to reflect well on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's charming to meet you all. My name, if you haven't already been introduced in advance, if I haven't already been introduced to in advance by Mr. Stone, I am Julian Larbalest. He offers a hand towards the nervous chicken-like woman.
Well, Mr. Stone, you simply did not do the nicety to introduce us to such an individual.
Oh, he did not, did he? I suppose he wanted to make this a surprise. Looks towards Stone.
Was hoping for the opportunity to premiere you. We have an unexpected visitor, a privateer, nonetheless.
Oh, great.
Indeed, a privateer. A jingly hand stretches out to you, Orimar, adorned with many, many, many rings.
Yeah, he takes your hand underneath and in shaking runs a thumb across like the rings on the back of your hand and then the back of Orimar's head. Like, 3 of these would look astounding in my hair. Does not say that aloud. Charmed indeed.
Now, what brings you to our neck of sphere, be it business or be it pleasure?
Pleasure.
Are you one of those scarlet pursuers, the ones that use the touch of the curse for a touch of fancy?
Oh, don't bring up such things. It's impolite.
We're in a mixed company, after all.
Oh. Oh my! I was going to launch into the spiel that I gave to Mr. Stone earlier about how we are currently on a bit of a touring holiday and went a little bit off course, but you have piqued my interest with a very unusual piece of information. I can tell this is going to be so much fun.
Well, if you think this conversation is fun, wait till you get your hands on a little bit of the semi-processed dye in small quantities. In small quantities, Julian, it makes you come alive for a brief moment. Do not overindulge. It's how you get into the further complications. But in small doses, it can make your holiday very merry.
I am sure that he has already heard more than enough.
Luther shuts the fuck up.
Yeah. Mistrust steps forward.
Ooh, that was from Truss. I see.
I am sure that he has already heard more than enough.
Luther shuts the fuck up.
Yeah. Mistrust steps forward.
Ooh, that was from Truss. I see. You must be. The energy that you radiated in the room, that I knew who you were the moment I arrived. You are Miss Edith Truss, I presume.
Indeed, I am.
Oh,
and
pleasure.
I must say I was not expecting a visitor, a privateer no less.
So must I say neither was I. As I say, unfortunately, we hit a bit of a diversion on our trip. Uncle isn't the best navigator, but we are making the best of an unusual situation. And I must say that we have been very pleasantly accommodated. Mr. Stone has done excellent work.
I did not notice your ship as I pulled into port, Mr. Lobelest.
No, you have not. as I'm sure we will find over the course of this evening, I am somebody with many stories and a little bit of mystique, but you'll be getting all the juicy details, although maybe not as juicy as what the good sir over here was just hinting at. I would love to go make a presence roll, maybe to kind of do a kind of charming swerve, if we can get the room babbling.
Definitely. Make a presence roll. This is bedeviling. This woman is remarkably unpleasant. And one of the reasons she's unpleasant is it's hard to impress her or make any kind of good impression on her. So you're against three dice against you right now.
I kind of realize this. I think this is more, just to be clear, I'm trying to kind of rabble rouse, because if everybody's making a fuss, then I'm no longer the focus of the conversation.
Sure.
It can still be this difficult, just making you know what my intentions are. I'm going to be spending two
points. So you just want to redirect rather than to ingratiate yourself.
I think smoothing her over is not going to happen here. That's going to be some intellect rolls later. But if I can get people to make a fuss and diffuse that, that's my goal for now.
Okay.
I normally have 2d8 and I'm spending another 2 so I can roll an additional d6. Okay, on the D6, we have a 1.
Okay, hold on here. All right.
And on the D8s, we have a 4 and a 6.
All right. First of all, mark off 2 fate for yourself, but you have, with that very good roll, hit a wash. So I'm going to draw a luminary here.
Okay. Can you remind me what I can spend a fate for again?
Fates are, they can be spent like other dice to upgrade, or they can be spent like other points to upgrade things, but like they're not tied to specific stats. And
gotcha.
When things refresh, those fates go away.
Gotcha. Understood.
probably when we get to make the game a little bit more robust, there'll probably be certain abilities that like you only can activate through fate spends and whatnot. So it's a momentum builder. And I pulled for you the perfect crime. I am going to, I think the best way for to interpret this, because this is like all luck kind of moving in your favor to pull off whatever you are trying to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
You are looking to redirect her ire or redirect things away from her ire and, more important, her suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
So it is at this exact time that the doors open up to a procession of the creepily dressed monks that you saw earlier.
Mm.
People in masks with these like tin gloves moving forward. And like, again, there is kind of like a rumbling chant to what they're doing. But they enter, they part, and in the middle of them, a somewhat modestly, and I say somewhat modestly because you've seen church officials before.
Mm-hmm.
Church officials, like, you know, if we were talking to Lorenzo back when, he had all kinds of drapings and jewelry and whatnot. Mm. He was dressed to the nines. This person is dressed in a very simple silk suit. There are gold buttons on it that are adorned with symbols of the Church of the Slain God. He also has an amulet associated with the Church of the Slain God hanging from his neck, but he otherwise does not have the grandiose fashions that you would associate with a high-ranking official of the church.
Mm.
His collar, like around his neck, is dyed with a very bright red. This denotes that he is a bishop. Mm-hmm. Like it's a red and I think like an interior purple. So like these are very, very expensive things. These are markings of a high ranking church official. What is very striking about his appearance? He appears to be in his mid-20s at the latest.
Mm.
However, he has a shock of white hair and his face appears very, very pale. And you can see his eyes, like, it looks like they are unfocused. He also has, like, very small glasses, but they are with gold rims, and they have a very dark lens to them. He steps forward into the room, and his procession enough has commanded everyone's attention, and just says, "It's so nice to meet you all. Miss Truss, I must thank you for arranging this little gathering so that I could come to know more people in our local area. Allow me to make my own introductions, as that is the gift the empty throne has bestowed upon me. I am Bishop Occhiovista Agostino Arvetti, at your service." Truss, like, comes to a nasty squint. She is no fan of this person.
Hmm.
"You are, of course, welcome, as you always are. Dinner shall be served soon. I recommend that everyone finish meeting each other. I will make sure that things are proceeding accordingly." And Miss Truss excuses herself.
"I don't know why he attends such things. He's always such a wet blanket. From what I hear, it's quite unseemly to be speaking of religion at dinner or any other time."
"It's one of those, I don't understand why he's down all the time. It's very rare that a Occhiovista is such so young. What? Take it as a compliment."
Coolly, Julian has kind of sat at a chair, maybe between or next to these two, and in sotto says, "Well, I wonder what he needed to do to be given that position."
I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I didn't catch your names, by the way.
My name, yes. Oh, it's Megan Trainor.
Megan Trainor.
Wow, Liz.
It doesn't need to be, but that could potentially be
I like Megan. That works great.
Megan Trainor.
Lady Megan, if you please.
Of course. Of course, Lady Megan.
And this is my dear compatriot over here.
Luther Mathers. Oh, Megan. She introduces me as Marshall Matthews. Whatever floats her fancy for the evening.
It's my fun little bit.
Oh, you two are already good friends. I must spend the time. When we're not having to put on airs, I would love to get a little bit of gossip from the two of you, but I suppose we have to look presentable.
Yes, we're in the presence of higher company, apparently.
Seems so.
I must ask, considering your status, the ravishing outfits you both have, I've been told multiple times that we are currently visiting out of season. Are you living here, or are you also just visiting?
Well, I have found myself as a supervisor, as it were, of varying departments of very high importance, and as you can see, and he sort of wildly gestures to his whole chest area at no particular button. Very important, very crucial to the overall operations. And so that is why I am needed here 24/7.
Huh, I see, I see.
Oh, and it's all rather untoward, but I run a series of dress shops in the cities, in many major cities. You may have heard of them. But I came earlier to secure a certain amount of pigment for a very special type of fabric. And it seems my negotiations kept on going longer and longer to where it was simply out of season and none of my preferred types of ships were coming here. So I decided to lay down roots, as it were, and attempt to finalize these negotiations that seemingly drag on forever.
Oh, goodness me. Well, you know that the red feathers are also sometimes a fan of red tape.
How true. Oh, I like you very much.
Well, I do hope we are just meeting, but I do hope that your ship's breaks down so we can chop it up a little more if you catch my drift.
Yes. I'll be sure that I was wondering maybe how long this process would take until we reopen the sky again, but at least our time here is looking to be very entertaining. Inwardly, Oromar is like, these two people are horrendously insecure. I will stick a wedge in that the moment we sit down for dinner.
as you are making that mental note, you are struck. You almost did not see or hear him approach. But by the side of this little like contingent of people, is that there are more people in the room milling about, is Mr. Arvetti, Bishop Arvetti.
Ooh.
He appears in front of you. Forgive me. I believe I heard some unfamiliar tones.
I'm sure my mellifluousness was carried across the room. I am one Julian Larbalest, a member of higher society in the Azure region, and a particular reputer of handling the dealings of the complicated. It's a pleasure.
Ah, the Azure region.
Mm-hmm.
I love Azure. There are many faithful adherents in Azure. I have always found the baronies of your region most accommodating of officials of the church. It is my pleasure, I assure you. And he will extend a hand.
Mm-hmm.
It is unadorned with rings of any kind, but you can see that it is scarred. He has like scars kind of running up his hands. They look a little bit like burns. It's hard to exactly place. Orimar, you have seen a lot of wild scars in your time living the life that you do. People get hurt in lots of truly wild ways, but you can't place it. It does look like similar to the discoloration that you can see on his face.
You mentioned that he was very pale.
He's like extremely pale. And now that he is closer, you can see that like there is discoloration on his skin that looks like, again, the pattern of a burn scar, but it is not raised at all. And it's like around his face and eyes. It goes up into his hair.
Julian Lobelest does not comment, but instead, what better way to impress somebody with a show of particular knowledge? I'd like to basically be like, oh yes, one of the most moving events that I can recall from my days staying in Azure, and like talk about like a particular like religious festival that occurs on a regular basis.
Okay.
As a kind of like, yeah, this is a thing that I know because I'm from this region and also pious in my important moments, haha.
I feel like this is a normal intelligence or intellect role. Like you are just trying to know enough about the world that you can like ground your identity into it without raising any suspicion.
Right. So I have 3d8. In intellect. I'm going to spend 1 point to upgrade one of those to a d12. We're playing to win here. Okay, so on the d12, that's a 12.
Okay, oh, that's a victory. So that is critical success levels of stuff.
Good. on the d8.
A thing.
On the d8s, I have a 7 and a 3.
Okay, yeah. This is like an overwhelming amount of success and a victory. So not only do you accomplish what you were trying to accomplish with this role, which was just, what was this, just to cover your identity, so to speak?
I think this is essentially to immediately win him over with a display of local religious knowledge, because that's, assuming this is a thing that he would value. Can I name somebody that he would personally know, and I just happen to not realize that there's a connection there until I'd be like, oh yes, the head priest at the time, Julius, gave such a moving ceremony. I still remember it to this day.
You said Julius?
Yes. Julius. It's The surname is unfortunately a little bit hazy. It was many years ago, but I still remember his face and his long hair.
Julius Melodose.
I think it must be.
Julius, and there is a faint smile that crosses his face. Julius is the closest I have ever had to a father.
My. Well, you did look so young. I didn't realize things would line up like this. This is clearly a sign, fate, smiling upon us.
Oh, Mr. Lobelest, I can assure you there is no such thing as fate. There is the will of the empty throne and the acts that we commit with our hands.
As Augustine is saying this, Luther is kind of like doing tiny little below the table, like waxing philosophically, like gestures with his hands. Like he goes on like this.
Yeah. Then yes, the will of the throne. Sorry for misspeaking.
Are you a religious man, Mr. Lobelest?
Well, I must say, the life that I lead and the business that I do, as much as I want to keep the will strong in my heart, I have not managed to attend services in many years, and I do regret it.
I can see that. I can see the concern that you have. My question to you would be, why do you feel that you should need to impress me? If you clearly don't stand before the throne, and not all of us hear that calling. Obviously, you knew my mentor. You knew the kind of inspiring man he could be. And I must say, if he could not move you to attend the voice of the empty throne, then certainly I will not be capable of such a feat.
You sell yourself short. I'm sure that you have managed to live on his legacy in fabulous and ways that I could not even possibly fathom. However, I do feel that it's always good to make a strong first impression, as you have.
I will say that I am happy to have met you. I am happy to have met anyone who knew a man so wise and so kind. But I implore you, do not put on airs for me, Mr. LaBalest. As I have said, there's only the will of the throne. If the throne has not moved you to attend to it, then there is perhaps not much you could offer. All we have are the acts of our hands in that stead. And that is what I have committed my life to. I use what the throne has called me to, and I commit my own acts through its will.
My. I think Orimar's like, this is an interesting leverage point to get some information. My. I'm meeting so many strong-willed and driven people today. First, Ms. Truss, and then you. You must work together a lot if you are so well-established in Sorrow's End.
I am very familiar with Ms. Truss. Ms. Truss has a fascinating intellect, and I am happy to report that the church and the syndicate have done very good work together here. Ms. Truss has personally assisted me in my mission and calling many times through her years in this region. And I, in turn, have aided Ms. Truss's efforts. I believe our relationship up to this point has been very mutually beneficial.
I'm glad you can find harmony in such a remote place. You must have traveled far to establish yourself here.
Indeed. I was educated in Reggio Santo, home of the throne on Sphere.
My.
I had the good fortune of being brought there by my mentor. And after my formal education was completed, I went on my own to commune with the empty throne and hear which directions it might have called me. And they led me here.
Fascinating. I won't get into the details. I'm sure we'll be discussing this both during and maybe after dinner. You are a fascinating person, but did you arrive here before or after the Red Feathers? Or at the same time, even?
I was very coincidentally called at the same time. The throne has a way of arranging people where they need to be, when they need to be there.
There is no fate, after all.
There Julian. Is no fate.
Julian smiles. And I think there's a long stare. And then to break the tension, goodness me, this has already been such a stimulating conversation. I'm afraid my appetite has also been stimulated. I've never been very good at theological jousting, so...
I can tell that I've made you uncomfortable in some way.
No, not that. I don't want to monopolize your time. There are so many people here.
I love to spend my time getting acquainted with those that I have not yet met. And please, if it helps you at all, feel at ease. I am not here to enlist you to follow the church. People can only come to sit at the throne of their own accord. That is something I hold very firm. Everyone who worships here worships of their own will. And should yours not call you to the throne, again, I cannot imagine we would have much use for it.
Orimar remembers the procession of people moving into the church earlier in the day. and the wide variety of different outfits and kind of very clear delineation of rank as they moved in, and does not believe a word of that, but says, well, you have been a most gracious initial contact. I hope we get to know each other deeply for the brief period of time that I'm here.
Indeed. And with that, I would like to first cut back to Jonnet. Scotty Jacks.
We kind of like, we fade in on the hall, like the lower decks of the ship, kind of on a hallway. And as we're kind of pushing in, we kind of hear faint, like faint, but rambunctious sounding like drums. And like it's a party. And as we get closer, it becomes more clear. And then we kind of like open, a door opens and the camera pushes through, and like Jonnet is there with like Gable and the captain, and like all the orphans are just like in like a big old mosh pit, and everybody's like Jonnet and the crew are keeping time as the orphans are just like tearing up. Yeah, everybody say hey,
hey,
hey.
All right. What is all this?
Oh no! Everyone,
that's right.
Scatter.
Tis me. Tis I. Overboard. The HR pirate.
And the time it took him to say that, all the orphans had scattered into gutters and mouth holes,
climbing into holes and
floorboards.
Vent
in the ceiling. Slam shuts just in time. Yeah.
And then there's a hubcap spinning, and it's just Gable, the captain, and Jonnet left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Captain Gable, Jonnet, what are you doing?
Well, we were throwing it in a circle to some Jersey Club, but it seems it's been cut a bit short. I know that we normally do like a whole winter solstice party organized venue and everything, but we figured we'd throw something a bit more domestic, you know, cheaper.
Folks, I have to say, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in all of you. You're senior staff on the ship. No. We put together the party policy on the ship after all of the complaints got made after the big Harney orgy that was organized years ago. And we put down new rules in place, might I add, your rules. And what do I find but you violating those very rules?
Overboard, all right? You're right. We did put in new policy for parties. But then, you know what happened? We stopped having parties, all right? Yeah. And we got all tense, and we wanted to get all the energy out, so we started having secret parties, all right?
I mean,
you caught us.
Initially, it made sense that we would only have a party with the associated music from the official soundtrack at the end of a narrative arc. But sometimes you kind of get the energy for a bit of toe tapping and a bit of grog. Sometimes when you're in the middle of an arc, you know, when you're off screen.
Every employee and prisoner is entitled to a birthday celebration with a face cake that has an image of only their face and music approved from an approved playlist by the captain and the party planning committee.
But working with the PLC is so boring.
That's your words, because you were tired of there being erotic cakes, and you were tired of the music being too sensual and always ending up with an orgy.
Look,
well,
it was only really...
here we are now, where all the horny crew members can't have their orgies, but you can just be drumming away, it seems.
I mean, there was only really two people who were organizing those, unless you're... and one of them isn't part of the ship anymore. Long may his soul rest. What's the process on updating the policy? Because
I
do like to throw it back on a Tuesday night.
Well,
so
I'm here in front of you right now, so we might as well update our policy on-ship parties.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to be useful here. I am rolling. Like, absolutely rolling. Just...
I'm very.
Thank you, thank you for being up front with us. All right,
mm-hmm. I
there's nothing in the rule book that says you can't be totally freaking blitzed out when you're planning for the party planning committee. So all that's right, all stick okay.
Stick around. Everything is really bright right now. It's bright.
Yeah, okay. You're gonna have to let that ride out.
Bright.
All right. So okay, fine. So what's the threshold here? Because I think when given to some individuals on the crew, they're going to push things into a sexy orgy town, mm-hmm. like fire that's waiting to happen. All right. Mm-hmm. What is the middle ground? What can we just have, like, no cake, no sensual, no music below 85 BPM?
Yeah, it might be pretty a tempo precise. Thing. Involved.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think you can hold yourselves to that? Because I'll say your bucket boys in this room here, we're going at a tempo far beyond recommended parameters.
Yeah. Whenever we set a rule, it becomes exciting to break the rule, and that's part of it.
Maybe it's true. Playlist selection, you know, making sure, you know, like the we get to veto the playlist in advance. The moment of kind of a sphere 90s classics are maybe over for the time being. Maybe we need something a bit more contemporary. Yeah, that kind of era of R&B tends to get that specific group of people in the mood, so
Captain,
we kind of rule that out.
Seems like a fool's errand, and Gable's just like wiggling around like a war.
Let him ride it out. Let him ride it out.
Riding it out.
All right. All right. Maybe it's the food and drinks offered then. Minimum oysters, you know, no buckets of champagne, minimal dark chocolate. Keep it more of a party rings situation. I haven't checked. Do you all have party rings or is it just a Bandari thing?
Party
rings.
Yeah. Old Bandari classic. It's they're like biscuits. They're in like tiny little flat donuts and they have fancy uh-huh. icing on them in a bunch uh-huh. of wacky colors. And they're called party rings. Classic. Not a thing that any of y'all have had.
No.
Man.
Maybe.
Can't say.
No, but I want that. I want that right now.
Could be.
Here's my concern yes. with a party ring. If it's ring-shaped, it can be penetrated and you can eat off of it, if that makes sense. I feel like that's courting disaster.
I mean, they're pretty, the middle of the rings is pretty small, so it would be a very limited size, but I'm sure people would want to try.
Here's something I'd like to posit. Have we ever considered not making the walls move? That feels like...
Okay, well, that's you.
That's a me thing?
That's okay. A you thing right now.
Cool.
Just write
cool.
this out. Write this out.
Okay. Maybe it's a guest list kind of matter. You know, when we kind of say, hey, we've got an end of an arc party going round, send a missive to the Black Lilies, then it, you know, it sends in a kind of a mixed message. Did I get that right? Is that the right organization? I think so. You know, they're very good at holding excellent parties, but it tends to come with a tone. But they are excellent DJs, and I do... like the kind of crate digging they do. Oh, now this is complicated. Gosh.
There's a lot of conflict from you, Mr. Overboard, and not a lot of solutions.
How about this? We serve at parties. It's still, everybody gets a face cake. That's a very popular option.
Right.
I would like to request no lips on the face cake. I think that would help us avoid a lot of problems that crop up around that.
Right.
So just
now,
mouthless cake? Horrific.
If we served a lot of graham crackers and Kellogg cereals, I feel like chemically we could do everything in our power to prevent things from tipping in the wrong direction.
Next, you'll tell me we have to do square dancing.
Well, that's another thing. Line dances only. And I really have to be firm about this.
My suggestion for two reasons is that we table this. One, to save time, find out a new interesting idea. Second of all, I'm really stuck on mouthless face cakes and it's really freaking me out. I'm barely hanging on, so I'm going to go find something really soft to lay in and you could just find me in like 5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, get out of here, Gable. You take care of you.
Go drink some water, please.
Yeah.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter over at CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing. You can find more great gaming shows over at OneShotPodcast.com.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. Tyler is on strike alongside his fellow members of the WGA and SAG-AFTRA. You can support Tyler and other striking artists by contributing to the Entertainment Community Fund, linked in our show notes. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @LizAnderson_... or on her podcast, Paired. Captain Orimar Vale was played by Nathan Blades, who can be found on Twitter at @PhantomArtsENT, or streaming at twitch.tv/TheNeonCaster. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG, or on my podcast, OneShot. The original music featured in this podcast was written, composed, and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find him over on Twitter at Arnie Parrott, or on his website, ATP Tunes. This episode was edited by Ali Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at @DreamsToBecome, or on her podcast, Skyjack's Courier's Call. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @Lunarum. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and Illimat, produced by Together Studios. This show was made in part by using a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system, designed by Sam Stewart and a team of talented professionals. There are no kings. Take flight.
Health to the strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.